I have to confess that what I have to say to you this morning may sound a little bit like a devotional message, but so be it. That is always good for us, and it's something which I wanted to draw your attention to. One of the Bible commentators, and I'm sure that they are in agreement with many other Christians, they said that the Christian home is the backbone of the nation. They also said that the Christian church cannot flourish without Christian homes. And that is true. I know that for very many individuals, your home is a very important place. Many people endeavor to own their own home. Some don't, some do. And they endeavor to own their own home and to even to build their own home and to construct it in a way that is pleasing to them. And for those who live in that home, for the family, it ought to be, and in many, many cases is, a place of security. And perhaps you've had a busy day away at the office or a busy day out in the field, whatever the case might be, and you come into your home at night. It ought to be a place of security, not only for adults, but for children too. It ought to be a place where they find the greatest security. It also is a place of comfort for us. And all of us know the benefit of, even in the cold weather, lighting the fire and sitting there with our family. We may talk about things, we may debate, and we mightn't talk to each other at all. But we know the comfort of being there, and we meet with kindred spirits. And many homes today, especially Christian homes, not exclusively, but especially Christian homes, are very happy homes indeed. Now, there is an order given in God's word, and this is another subject for another time. The man is the head of the home. And man, when you don't let your wife boss you about, that's not being hard. If you do let her boss you, that's being a wimp. But if you don't let her boss you, that is obeying the Bible. But your wife shouldn't want to boss you. And she shouldn't need to boss you. Because while the man is the head of the home, someone said the wife is the neck that turns the head. It is a working together. And wives, as I've often said here from the pulpit, are never to be doormats or treated in that way. And there is that harmony to be between the husband and the wife and the children there. In the book of, in the commandments, we're even told to honour thy father and thy mother. And that is to be the case. That does not mean that we want little clones coming out of our homes, or that we all agree on absolutely everything in life. That is not the case. But it does mean that there is a harmony in the home, an honouring of the father and mother there, the working of the mother and father together, the father being the head of the home as God has ordained it. And I know that today that is maybe not the most popular thing to say. And, you know, sometimes there's some young ladies can be very self-assertive and very thinking, well, no one telling me what to do. Well, I don't know what they've heard or what their experience has been, but they shouldn't want to feel like that. Should be glad to be under the headship of their husband and to work with him and along with him there in the home. And brothers and sisters, as I thought of, again, of what Paul was writing to Timothy there and saying, show piety at home, or show true holiness, let it be seen at home, I thought of the impact of a Christian home. The impact of a Christian home. And that is the title this morning, as I draw your attention over to Luke chapter 10. And the home here of Mary and Martha and Lazarus, who were great friends of the Lord Jesus Christ during his earthly ministry there. I want you to notice some things concerning this home of theirs in Luke's Gospel chapter 10. We know it says there, it came to pass in verse 38, as they went out, that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. This was a common thing, as they were good friends. He went there and he found all those things that I mentioned earlier on. He found a degree of security, humanly speaking, away from the city, because there was very often those who were on his trail. But he found comfort there, he found kindred spirits, he found people that he was very happy to be with, and he came along there. But I want to speak to you first of all here about allegiance in this home. Allegiance in this home. In verse 38, he obviously went to the house of his friends. He received a great welcome there. It was a joy for them to have him. But in verse 39 it says, "And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word." Christ was recognized for who he was, and he was given the position there of authority and lordship, and she was sitting here at his feet. Now, Martha was serving him too, but Mary was the one who was found at his feet, and three times you find this Mary sitting at the feet of Christ. And the three times that she were there are instructive to me and to you, and she'd help us. Once when she was there, she was found at his feet supplicating, seeking his face, pouring out her heart before him, bringing those things that perhaps were grieving to her or were weighing heavily upon her, and she was bringing them to the feet of the Lord. And that's what we do. That's what we did this morning in the prayer meeting, and we did on Tuesday night here as well, and for a time as men. On Wednesday evening, we had our season of prayer together as well. She was at his feet supplicating, and in a home, for a Christian home to be a home that impacts, that has to be the case. You need praying men and women, and if there are Christian young people there, those who pray as well. Mary was found often supplicating before the Lord, but she was found at his feet another time when she was simply strengthening. She'd come there in all of her weakness, and she was there before the Lord. And that's what she's doing now. It says she heard his word. So it says there she sat at the feet, at Jesus' feet, and heard his word. And brethren and sisters, we need to do that. Ministers need to do it, and so does everyone else in the congregation. Constantly looking to him in his word for strengthening. I'm going to repeat something which I've said many times. If we don't feed on the word, then we will grow weak. And we become very susceptible to temptation. We will become easy pickings sometimes for the world and the devil. And we'll be easily led astray, all because we get away from the word. And it is by feeding upon his word that you'll become strong, young person or older person. Mary was found at his feet, once supplicating, once strengthening. And another time she was found there serving in her experience. And that is what you and I do and what we want to do. So here's a home where the Lord, he has Mary at his feet, and Martha, she's going about trying to make everyone feel welcome there. But suffice to say that their allegiance in that home is to the Lord. And it might be easy to think, well, that's always the case. Well, maybe have shared with you before, some years ago, before I ever went into the ministry, talking to a younger man who was just heading off to university. And I was really shocked and discouraged to hear what he said too, because I just happened to be talking to him, and I said, "You know, what are you at?" I said, "I'm going to," can't remember where it was, in the mainland somewhere, to university. And I said, "Well, I'm sure you're looking forward to getting into the study." He says, "Oh, I can't wait to get away from my mum and dad." And I happen to know that his mum and dad were very good to him, and they loved him and cared for him. And I remember thinking to myself, well, there may come a time in your life when you'd be glad to be back with your mother and father again. But he couldn't wait to get away. There wasn't that, he didn't have any love for the home at all. And there was no thought of how it might benefit him being there with his mother and father. He just wanted to get away. Please, young person, never fall into that trap. I know people grow up and some go away and stay away when they're studying. Others, of course, some get married. Some people get a home of their own at some stage in their life and all of those things. But the attitude that he had was not one that was conducive with harmony in the home. And there are many homes today where there's great sadness and great stress and hardship and disappointment because of situations like what I've mentioned to you, and worse. And if a home is one where allegiance is given to the Lord Jesus Christ and his authority, and his lordship and headship is there over all, then that can be a home where there is great harmony. I want to say concerning this allegiance in the home, whenever you, man or woman or young person, have decisions to make, and if you happen to be a person who's raising children, through your life you will have decisions to make. Some of them quite difficult and complex situations that you'll hardly know what to do. Well, it will be the Lord who will guide you then in your home. And I was reading in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, and it says there, the apostle again has been talking to those who were drunkards and revilers and extortioners and so on. He said, "And such were some of you, but ye are washed, ye are sanctified." He's speaking now to Christians. "But ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. All things are lawful unto me, but all things are not expedient." Do you ever think of that? All things are lawful, but all things are not expedient. Whenever you have a decision to make, sometimes there may be something, and in itself, it isn't wrong. But is it right for you now? Is it right for you now? And that's what we mean when we talk about complex situations. Is that the right thing for you now? And in order to make that decision, we can get it wrong. In order to make that right decision, we need the Lord's guidance and help. And even those words in Proverbs 3, 5 and 6, "To trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not on thine own understanding." Lean not on thine own understanding. Look for him for guidance. Get it and then follow it. And that really is the proper guidance from the Lord. 1 Corinthians 10 and again in verse 23, it says, "All things are lawful for me, but all things are not expedient." They're not expedient. And that shows to me that there is that line. Sometimes it seems like a fine line between doing something which is okay, but it's not the right way for you now. Unfortunately, that can be abused, and you can have it. Perhaps you could have it in a home cast up and said, "Well, sir, it's okay. What's wrong with it?" Well, it may be lawful. It may not be totally wrong, but is it expedient? Is it really suitable? Is it really the way that the Lord wants you to go now? You look at this context here, and it says that in verse 40, "But Martha was cumbered about much serving." And the word "cumbered" there means to be drawn about or to be tossed about. She didn't know what to do first. And very often that is the case for a woman working in the house. "But Martha was cumbered about with much serving and came to him and said, 'Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me.' There were things that needed to be done. And Jesus answered and said unto her, 'Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things.'" Again, the word "troubled" is one which means to be greatly tossed about. She's stressed out, to put it in today's terms. "But one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen a good part which shall not be taken away from her." The lesson is, if you want to know what is the right as far as direction is concerned, and Mary, she was doing lots of things, she needed to be there, choosing that good part, just like Mary did. She needed to be there listening to his word. Martha was troubled. But if you look in verse 41 and verse 42, you see here we have really how gracious the Lord is to her. He draws her attention to how troubled she is and says this one thing is needful. And the word "needful" there means imperative. You can't be without it. "And Mary hath chosen that good part what shall not be taken away from her." She was there at the feet of the Lord. John 11, in verse 1 to 3, it says, and I read it quickly. "Now a certain man was sick named Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. It was that Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore his sisters sent unto him, saying, 'Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick.'" And there we have another indication of their reliance on him, of him having allegiance in their life. Now, we have to say there that what Martha was doing was something that needed to be done. And there's lots of things that need to be done in God's work, brethren and sisters. There's lots of things that need to be done regarding the Christian home. But we need to spend time at the feet of the Lord. We need to make sure that our allegiance is to him. And if our allegiance is to him, then everything will fall into place. You will see there in verse 3 of chapter 11 in John's Gospel, their resolve. They said unto him, Lord. They went to him. They said unto him, Lord, that's their reverence for him. He whom thou lovest is sick. And you'll note there in verse 6, and when he had heard therefore that he was sick, he abode 2 days still in the same place where he was. That's not what they wanted to happen. One of his best friends on earth is now very sick. And they've come and told him, and he just stayed where he was. Sometimes when we come to the Lord and we're looking guidance from him, and we feel that, well, there's a way I could go, but I'm not sure if it's the right way to go. I want to do the right thing. We could call it that. Because all things may be lawful, but all things are not expedient. And we can't really use the argument, well, everybody does it, or it's different now, or, well, I feel, okay, that can be a dangerous area to get into. But rather, we want to look to him. And sometimes when we bring it before him, he doesn't answer right away. He doesn't answer right away. Just like here, he stayed where he was for 2 days. And because of the way of what our human makeup is, we grow impatient. And that is where the problem can come. The problem can come. But if our houses, our homes, are to be those that make an impact for the Lord, they will be those where he has allegiance. And when he has allegiance, he will be sought by the individuals in the house. He will be sought to direct all of our paths and all of our ways. You take missionaries today who are on the field, they may have a couple of children there or more than that, and they're sitting out and they thought, how did we ever get here? We used to have careers and jobs and we had our nice house in our neighborhood. And here we are out in wherever it is. And we're sitting here and there's nothing that we're familiar with here. What are we doing here? They're there. Certainly many ones that I can speak of, they are there because in their home they give allegiance to the Lord. You see what we're saying here? If we give allegiance to him in the home, then he can direct us in every other way. That is how important it is that we show true piety. Show piety at home. True holiness. Live it out. I'm sure... I know that some of you were at the Reverend Elliot's funeral, and I was impressed by one thing that his son John said when he was making the tribute. And he said, concerning his father who passed away, he said, the man that you saw in the pulpit every day, every Sunday, was the same man that we had at home. It was the same man that we had at home. Now, you've heard the saying before, if you want to see what a man's really like, you need to ask his wife. Because a man can be anything in the pulpit. But John said concerning his father, what you see in the pulpit is what we had at home. There's an allegiance to Christ, and it wasn't just in the pulpit. It was in the home as well. And when it's in the home, then the Lord is always calling people out to the mission field and to various aspects of the Lord's work. And if there's not allegiance to him in the home, that means there's allegiance. He gets his allegiance in our hearts. And then he can guide us and show the way ahead. And therefore, that Christian home can impact for the Lord. But much closer to home than the mission field can impact their surrounding area. And those who live around there as well. Must move on here. There's not only the allegiance in this Christian home as we seek to show piety at home, but it is a place of serving. We've already mentioned here that Martha, she was cumbered about with much serving. But remember that what she was doing, she was doing it as unto the Lord. And she comes and says, do you not care? Now, if she'd been listening to him like Mary was, she wouldn't have said that. Martha knew he cared. But when she wasn't at his feet, she said, "Do you not care that my sister's left me alone to do this?" It's priority, you see. But nonetheless, as we look at the passage and the context, we see that there was work to be done. And she wants to, we have to say concerning Martha, what can we say about her? She was diligent as far as doing what work needed to be done. And brothers and sisters, that is something which is very important in our homes as well. If we are to be a home that impacts for the Lord. Over in Colossians 3, when Paul was writing there to that church, he says in verse 23, "And whatsoever ye do, do it heartily, as to the Lord and not unto men." It means there, do it heartily, do it out of soul. Put your heart and soul into it. Do it as if, no matter what it is, do it as if the Lord as though you're doing it unto the Lord, because you are. I've talked to ladies and gentlemen before, lots of them, and they work in all kinds of different places, and some of their jobs there are, they be in situations where it's not very pleasant sometimes to be listening to what you have to listen to, and so on. And all, some of you would identify with this, all sorts of different scenarios there. But they've told me, they said, "You know, everything I do it as unto the Lord. I do it as unto the Lord." If I could turn you just to Ephesians chapter 6 there, and again read what it says. It's just back a page or two. Ephesians 6, verses 6 and 7. It says, "Servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh with fear and trembling. In singleness of your heart as unto Christ." Now I wonder, do we look at our workplace like that really? What we're doing, do we do it as unto Christ? Well, you see the word singleness there. It is a word that refers to doing with an undivided mind. Doing with an undivided mind. You've heard the stories, and I have too. People who, for instance, if they're working and there's a van or a lorry in drive, they will spend so many hours almost every day sleeping in a hidden lay-by. Sleeping in a hidden lay-by to get it into closing time. Is that doing your work as unto the Lord? No, of course it's not. It's not doing it as unto the Lord. But if you're in your workplace and you're seen to be doing what you do as unto the Lord, then you'll impact for the Lord. People will recognize it. And they will say, "Well, there's a man or a woman," and they take their work seriously. They're not bluffers. They're not seeking to get through as easy as they can. Verse 6 says, "Not with eye service as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart." See, that all ties in with what we read in Colossians 3 and verse 3. And brethren and sisters, we cannot overemphasize the importance of this starting in the house. And it seems like a very simple thing, but willing to help each other in the house. And to put yourself out for your mom or your dad or your son or your daughter. I know that mothers and fathers, especially mothers, seem to put themselves out all the time. But to put yourself out for each other, that's where it begins. That's where it begins if we want to be those who will impact for the Lord. And if it means doing a bit more than your share, so what? Just do it. It's the same in the Lord's work. Sometimes we do a bit more than our share. So what? It's good to have the opportunity. I remember a man one time came to preach at a mission. A layman, he was preaching, and he said, "I'm so thankful to get here." He was a bit late. He said, "I'm a bit late. By the time I got out of my work and got home, got changed and got here, it was this time." And he says, "I'm a bit late." But he said, "I'm just so thankful to be able to have the opportunity to come along tonight and speak at the mission." He says, "I know there could come a time when I'm not fit to go out of the house. A time when I'm no longer able to do what I'm doing now." And he says, "I want to come and do it for the Lord." That's years ago, but I've never forgotten what he said. He did it from a full heart. And like so many others, even many people in the congregation here, he was willing to do a bit more than a share. Doing it all as on to the Lord. You see, if the home is willing, and you think about this morning, if the home is willing, there's that allegiance to the Lord. There's that willingness to serve one another. We sang about that earlier on. where each takes joy in serving others. We know that sometimes in any home, there can be a disagreement on something. But we need to love each other in the Lord and to love each other as family. And if there is that home that is willing, then the church will be willing. The church will be willing. And then if the church is willing, that can affect the nation. And that is why the commentator said that a Christian home is the backbone of the nation. It all starts with us. Starts with men like me. As head of our homes there. There's allegiance to Christ in the home. There is that willingness to serve in the home. And I could go into a whole lot of text this morning. You can look in Titus 1 and 8. Hebrews 13 and 2. I'll just read for you what it says in 1 Peter 4. And in verse 9. It says there. Use hospitality one to another without grudging. That is another whole area of the house. Doesn't mean that I come tripping in through your door every day pestering you. Or in some other way constantly on to you. An unnecessary way. But it means that my home, if you come along, you should feel welcome there. But how much more important, how important it is that those who live there feel welcome there. Wasn't there dangerous strife here between Mary and Martha? Both good people. But there was that willingness to serve. I want to say something else, and I'll have to finish with this. There is the witness of a Christian home. Whenever Lazarus was sick and when he died, before the Lord had raised him again, it looked like half the country come. They had a reputation there among the people. And wherever you are in your home, remember the Lord has put you there. And if you will give allegiance to him and serve one another, and in that way serve him, then your home will be a witness for the Lord. And when that is the case, your home can impact for the Lord. Can impact for the Lord. I was reading what one man said concerning this, and he said, a Christian home is not only a light, but it is the salt of civilization. A Christian home is not only a light, but it is the salt of civilization. And you know what salt does. Salt preserves. Salt purifies. Salt sometimes can poison. You want to kill the slugs, we've said before, pour a bit of salt on the ground. And the thought here is, the salt of civilization, it is that which will stand out for the Lord. Now, I'm just going to finish by drawing your attention. You know about Rahab. She was a woman of the street. Well, she's referred to in the Word of God as Rahab the harlot. And she trusted the Lord. And she'd asked the spies not to save her and her house and her family. And when Jericho was destroyed and torn apart, her and her family were left alone because her family stood out. Her family stood out. She showed where her allegiance lay when she changed from being the woman of the street. And brethren and sisters, wherever your home is, you can impact for the Lord. There are Christians living in some cases in places where they're the only believer in that development or that estate, whatever the case might be, and sometimes around more rural areas, they're the only, for instance, there are some who are that I know are believers, and the only believers in an area where there could be tensions in the countryside and strained situations, and yet those homes are witnesses for the Lord because people know. They may not know much, an awful lot about evangelical or Christianity or Reformed worship, as you and I do, but they know that there's people there who are church ones, and they know how they treat each other, and they know how they treat their neighbours. And therefore that home is a witness for the Lord. The impact of the Christian home. And I trust that the Lord will help all of us. I know in many ways I've been preaching to the converted today, but it's good to remind yourselves that, you know, as Paul said to Timothy long ago, show piety, show true holiness, or holiness that will be seen, show it he sent to them to show it at home. That's what Timothy had to tell them. And I trusted them.